Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Balava Giribana Dari. Gopi Jana Balava Giribana Dari. Jasoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana. Jasoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Balava Giribana Dari. Gopi Jana Balava Giribana Dari. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Balava Giribana Dari. Gopi Jana Balava Giribana Dari. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. 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 Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari.
Jayom Swa Vishnupad Paramahansa Parvakacharya Asasara Shishimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Anantakoti Vaishnavinda Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Shikho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Arigor Bhaktivrinda Ki Shishi Radha Krishna Go Gopina Shamakunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhana Ki Vrindavan Dham Ki Navadweep Dham Ki Jagannath Puri Dham Ki, Ganga Mayi Ki, Jamuna Mayi Ki, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Is it chapter 15, right? Chapter 17, verse 15. Okay. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 17. Text 15, this is the chapter, the victory of Hiranyaksha. You want to chant the Sanskrit? Thank you.
Drashta anangsya mahotpatan atatata vidha praja Brahma Putran Rite Vita.
Brahma Putran Rite Vita.
Menire Vishwa Samplavam.
Menire Vishwa Samplavam.
Drashta Nangsya Mahotpatan.
Drashta Vrnasya
Mahotpatan. Atatata Vida Praja. Brahma Putran Rite Vita.
Brahma Putran Rite Vita.
Menire Vishwa Samplavam.
Menire Vishwa Samplavam.
Drashta Nangsya Mahotpata. Atatata Vida Praja.
Atatata Vida Prajata.
Brahma Putran Rite Vita.
Brahma Putran Rite Vita.
Menire Vishwa Samplavam.
Menire Vishwa Samplavam. Drishyatyam Cha Mahopatyam. Atta tattva vidha prajata. Brahmaputran rite brita. Mene re vishva samplavam. Atta tattva vida prajata. Brahmaputran rite bita. Minare vishva samplavam. Drisya tyamscha maho tatyam. Atta tattva vida prajata. Brahmaputran rite bitaha. Mene vishva samplavam. Samyam cha maho tatyam. Atta tattva vita prajita. Putram rite bitaha. Vishva samplavam. Dristva, having seen. Anyan, others. Cha, and. Maha, great. Upatan, evil omens. Atat tattva vidya, not knowing the secret of the portents. Prajaha, people. Brahma Putran, the sons of Brahma, the four Kumaras. Rite, except. Vihitaha, being fearful. Menire, thought. Vishva sampalam. The dissolution of the universe. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Marking these and many other omens of evil times, everyone but the four sage sons of Brahma, who were aware of the fall of Jai and Vijay and of their birth as Diti's sons, was seized with fear. They did not know the secrets of these portents and thought that the dissolution of the universe was at hand. Purport. According to the Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, the laws of nature are so stringent that it is impossible for the living entity to surpass their enforcement. It is also explained that only those who are fully surrendered to Krishna and Krishna consciousness can be saved. We can learn from the description of the Srimad Bhagavatam that it is because of the birth of two great demons that there were so many natural disturbances. It is to be indirectly understood, as previously described, that when there are constant disturbances on the earth, that is an omen that some demoniac people have been born or that the demoniac population has increased. In former days, there were only two demons, those born of Diti. Yet, there were so many disturbances. At the present day, especially in this age of Kali, these disturbances are always visible, which indicates that the demoniac population has certainly increased. To check the increase of demoniac population, the Vedic civilization enacted so many rules and regulations of social life, the most important of which is the Garbhadhan process for begetting good children. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna informed Krishna that if there is unwanted population, varna samskara, the entire world will appear to be hell. People are very anxious for peace in the world, but there are so many unwanted children born without the benefit of the Garbhadhana ceremony. Just like the demons born from Diti. Diti was so lusty that she forced her husband to copulate at a time which was inauspicious, and therefore the demons were born to create disturbances. In having sex life to beget children, one should observe the process for begetting nice children. If each and every householder and every family observes the Vedic system, then there will be nice children, not demons, and automatically there is peace in the world. If we do not follow regulations in life for social tranquility, we cannot expect peace. Rather, we will have to undergo the stringent reactions of natural laws. So, Om Gyanatim Randasya Ganangana Salakaya Chaksarum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Makam Karoti Vachalam Pangang Langhaite Grim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Shri Guru Tinantarnam Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktabrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The translation once again. Marking these and many other omens of evil times, everyone but the four sage sons of Brahma, who were aware of the fall of Jai and Vijay and of their birth as Diti sons, was seized with fear. They did not know the secrets of these portents and thought that the dissolution of the universe was at hand. Hare Krishna. So thank everybody for coming to this class. Of course, I'm seeking your blessings that I can say something that will please my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. It's such a wonderful purport, and it's so perfectly framed, you know, starting with how the laws of material nature are stringent, and he ends with the same thing, the stringent laws of material nature. So, of course, this is the Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, 7:14. It's this divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. And here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying that it's impossible to become free from these stringent laws of material nature without Krishna's help, without the spiritual master's help. I remember this one example of entanglement in material nature is like a maze, where in the maze, you know, you get run up to a wall, you take a turn, you don't really know where you're going, and it's such an expert maze that there's no way that you can figure it out and get out on your own. But Krishna and the spiritual master, they're above the maze, so they can say, oh yeah, do like this, take a right, take a left, and go like this, and then we can get out of the maze. But we can't do it on our own. So sometimes, you know, these instructions, we may think, you know, why is he telling us to do things like that or do like this? But he's above the maze, and out of his compassion and love, he's giving us these instructions. And in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is stressing this Garbhadhan Samskara, which is the first. There, Prabhupada mentions this Garbhadhan Samskara 48 different times. I looked it in the Veda base. So he thought it was important. And actually, ISKCON has a whole book on Garbhadhan Samskara of how to produce nice children in Krishna consciousness. And it's actually needed. Srila Prabhupada thought this was needed. Just like we go out and we preach and we try to make the new devotees, householders can make nice devotees by having children. But it starts before conception. And Prabhupada was, when he mentioned it, he was always stressing this, that, you know, it's not a secret. You want to get the permission and blessings of the spiritual master, get the blessings of the devotees. and, you know, pick a day that is auspicious, and you have to make sure that your mentality is very pure. It's something that you can't cheat at. You can't just, well, one of the things Srila Prabhupada recommends is for the husband and the wife, before there is conception, that they chant 50 rounds that day, and it's meant to purify the consciousness. But you can't cheat it, because what you're actually doing is you're inviting a soul to come into the world, to come into the womb. And if the mentality is just lust or anger, like in this case of Kashyapa and Diti, then a personality that has those qualities will come into the world. But if you are living a pure life, and if you're purifying your mind and intelligence, and you're actually praying for a nice child to come in to assist in this movement, then you'll attract a nice soul, and he'll come in with these certain qualities that will be beneficial to ISKCON and to the whole world. So Prabhupada gave a few, you know, examples. He said that Bhaktivinoda Thakur performed a Garbhadhan Samskar, and he prayed for a ray of Vishnu in Bhaktisiddhanta. Was the result of that. And he's the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada. And even as, when Srila Prabhupada was a child, he said that his father used to invite all sorts of sadhus to come and take prasadam. And at the end, after they had finished taking prasadam, he would ask for their blessings. And his blessing was always, please bless my son that he becomes a nice devotee of Radharani. So we can follow these examples. And like I said, we can't, it's not something that you can cheat on. One of the famous, well, I don't know how famous it is, but one of my favorite sayings of Srila Prabhupada is that if you're not feeling transcendental bliss 24 hours a day, you're only cheating yourself. So it comes back to us. We have to be sincere. We have to follow these programs, assimilate it into all of our activities. So, Garbhadhan Samskara, there are very nice Brahmins in this community, Raghunath Das, Chaturatma. They perform a lot of these samskaras. The first one is this Garbhadhan, but it's not the end of it. It's just the beginning. If we want nice children and raise them up in Krishna conscious, it's not just the Garbhadhan samskara, but it's your whole life. And you know, like the husband and wife can't fight. There has to be a peaceful home. They have to raise their, you know, children in a loving atmosphere and show by example. There's that famous saying that your actions speak so loud, I can't hear what you're saying. So especially children, look and see how are the parents acting. And it's not so much that what you tell them. Of course, also you have to tell them things. And from the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, but it's very important that you have to live this philosophy. You have to actually assimilate it into your life, into your everyday activities. So it is something that we didn't do so well in the early days of ISKCON. And even Srila Prabhupada, one letter to Arundhati, he said that child worship is as good as deity worship. So it's a very responsible position to have children in Krishna consciousness. It's actually a Vedic injunction that you shouldn't have a child or you shouldn't become a spiritual master unless you can liberate that person from repeated birth and death, unless you can get them out of that repeated birth and death. So this is the... the idea of this Garbhadhan is that you want to attract a nice living entity, someone who is interested in Krishna consciousness, you know, into the womb of the mother. And we see that whatever, you know, son or daughter we have to live with them. And so it's actually to our benefit and to the whole world's benefit that we, you know, attract a good soul. So in Srila Prabhupada here is saying that this is one of the reasons that there's no peace in the world is because they don't follow this Garbhadhan samskara. But, you know, what is our position? You know, most of us were born from, you know, karmic parents, but we've taken to Krishna consciousness. So it's always, Krishna consciousness is like the art of the possible. In any situation, we can become Krishna conscious. Even if we haven't had, you know, such a good beginning, or if we haven't had, you know, we were meat eaters and all sorts of sinful activities, we can change those activities and we can take advantage of the mercy that Srila Prabhupada is giving, and we can, you know, elevate ourselves. So there are many different things going on. One nice quote from Bhishma Dev in the, I believe it's in the first canto, or maybe the second canto, but Lord Bhishma Dev, when he's on the bed of arrows, he's preaching to Maharaj Yudhisthira, and he says, "You can never fully understand the plan of the Lord, but you have to surrender to it." So it may be kind of bewildering, especially for everyone that didn't know about this history of Jai and Vijay, that they were actually the gatekeepers. They were very, very dear to Vishnu. Actually, it said that Vishnu loved them very much. And when they got cursed by the four Kumaras, Lakshmi also came to that place where the four Kumaras and Jai and Vijay were. And she was thinking, what's going to happen? Jai and Vijay are so dear to Vishnu. They're like his intimate gatekeepers, not just of the gates of Vaikuntha, but at the evening they were the gatekeepers to the intimate like bedrooms of Vishnu and Lakshmi. So Lakshmi was very thinking, what's going to happen? And of course, we understand from the whole pastime that Vishnu had a desire to fight, because he's a person, and just like sometimes we like to fight, we like to show our strength, especially young boys that like to wrestle and play fight. So Vishnu has this chivalrous propensity. He wanted to fight, but he can't fight with anybody in the spiritual world because they know that he's Vishnu, and they don't want to really fight with him. So he wanted to fight, so he had his dear servants come to the material world so that they could have a good fight. So we can see that there's the will of the Lord. He wanted to fight. Also that Kashyapa and Diti, they didn't perform the Garbhadhan samskara, so that demoniac people were coming into the womb. And he wanted to have the pastime of saving Pallad. So all these, Krishna does so many things with his one activity. So all these things are going on in this pastime. So, this Garbhadhan samsara is very important. Also, though, the main sacrifice in this age is the Harinam, the Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalom, Kalo, Nisteva, 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 Gatya Anyadha. So we cannot forget this, and that's why Srila Prabhupada recommended that before conception that the husband and wife chant 50 rounds. And this is Lord Chaitanya's movement, and it's going to increase for the next 10,000 years. It's going to be a golden age, even though Kali Yuga, like in the present age, there's so many disturbances going on. And there's that verse in the Bhagavatam, Kali Yuga is always disturbed. Everybody is unlucky, always disturbed. But the one good thing in Kali Yuga, especially this Kali Yuga, is that Lord Chaitanya has appeared, and he's given us this chanting of Hare Krishna. And just by this performance of the Sankirtan Yajna, we can become completely purified and go back home, back to Godhead in this very life. And it's so nice that, like, the heavenly planets are certainly nice materially. Most people perform, you know, pious activities because they want to go to heaven and enjoy. But the demigods, there, Prabhupada explained, that they see this movement of Lord Chaitanya and Kali Yuga, and they want to take birth within this ISKCON movement because of this wonderful opportunity that we have of performing this Sankirtan Yajna and actually developing pure love of Krishna in this very lifetime. So we have a very, very rare opportunity. We should be so grateful that somehow or other, you know, that we've come into contact with Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya's movement, and we should catch hold of the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and try to assist him in this movement. And it's all, just like all these Vedic inscriptions, they're done out of compassion to help the living entities. And that's what we want to do. We want to help all living entities. We've been given such a great gift. Now we have to give it to others. So I'll read the verse one more time, and we can have some questions. So, marking these and many other omens of evil times, everyone but the four sage sons of Brahma, who were aware of the fall of Jai and Vijay and of their birth as Diti's sons, was seized with fear. They did not know the secrets of these portents and thought that the dissolution of the universe was at hand. So any questions or discussions? Thank you. Mother Rakatmika.
Oh, thank you, Prabhu. I really appreciate that analogy you gave of the maze, even though I've heard it before, but it just brought to my attention how, yes, the spiritual master is above, and if we minimize his instructions, then we're really just independently risking our destination, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. Also, once I came across this book called The Biology of Belief by Bruce Lipton, it caught my attention because I thought it would be related to prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So he became a theist by studying cells, a cellular biologist So, and he did a cite in there in his research that there are cultures that prior to conception, they practice some kind of rituals or whatever, just to invite a higher conscious being, you know. Or so I thought that was kind of interesting how he could acknowledge that too. So it just supports, more, again, the importance of Garbhadan Samskara and how it can make a big difference.
Yeah, thank you. And like I said, Prabhupada mentioned it, I think, 48 different times in his books and lectures. It's an important thing. And I read all the 48 instances, but I didn't read the book. ISKCON actually has a book called Garbhadan Samskara for people that are interested in raising Krishna-conscious children. Haribol.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for your class. That was my question. If you know some of the other rules and regulations for having great children.
For the garbha samskara, I don't know.
Because you said there were 50 rules or something you saw in Veda base?
Well, he mentioned 48 different times 48. That he mentioned how important Garbhadan Samskara is and how it's meant to, invite an advanced soul to come in the womb and, help spread Krishna consciousness.
I was just thinking, any one of the steps must be very important, because for Prahlad, just hearing it from Narad Muni in the womb, even
right.
though he was raised in a demoniac environment, even in Gurukul, his teachers were demoniac, still he was able to be so potent and that he was able to affect the people around him instead of, the society and the community and the family life having such an impact on him. He was able to, from that being in the womb.
Yeah.
So any process must be very powerful if we can do it purely.
Yeah.
Or just in.
Totally. Yeah, that's the great example of hearing from a pure devotee.
Prabhu, thank you for your lovely class. You mentioned that there's no one who would want to fight with the Lord in the spiritual world. That's why there's no. I was just kind of wondering, is there fighting in the spiritual world?
not like with a demon, where there's anger. There's no anger in the spiritual world. I mean, the coward boys in Krishna, they have some play fighting, and
so they would have to come to the material world to do that kind of
wrestling.
Fight.
No, not like wrestling.
No, I'm talking about the way the Lord wanted.
Oh yeah,
fighting.
Yeah, right. And another thing I was, because Srila Prabhupada mentioned a few times about, getting the blessings of your spiritual master and getting the blessings of devotees, and that, it's no secret, it should be a very conscious decision. But on the thing of blessings, I really like this pastime of Bhaktitirtha Maharaj, who was before he was Bhaktitirtha, he was just Ghanisham at the time. He hadn't taken sannyas, but he was going to preach behind the Iron Curtain. And in Mayapur, he went to Srila Prabhupada to ask for his blessings to go preach behind the Iron Curtain. And Prabhupada was very pleased with him, and he gave him his full blessings. And then there was a bunch of other sannyasis and devotees in the room. And he says, Prabhupada said, I want each of you all to give your blessings to him. And one devotee said, but Srila Prabhupada, you already gave your blessings. What good are our blessings? And Srila Prabhupada immediately said, no. He said, every devotee has some potency to give blessings. Therefore, I want you all to give your blessings. So it's an important thing. And also, I was looking up a little bit about blessings, just how Prabhupada's father, he would feed sadhus, and then ask for blessings. I mean, it's nice to just ask devotees for blessings, but usually you want to serve them in some way that they're pleased with you, and then that automatically they'll want to give you their, heartfelt blessings. So, Shalagram, Tasi.
Yeah, back on the subject of fighting and wrestling. Yeah, back in the day in New Vrindavan, right? If the men kind of had surcharge of testosterone, I'll say, right? And they were had some quarrel, right? Then you guys used to have to box.
Yeah, they had boxing gloves. Who'd fight?
So duke it out.
Yeah.
But I'm sure afterwards.
In fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess afterwards you feel like, okay, there's due justice served. Now we can hug each other and move on and service, right?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, blessings. Okay. So I know a couple families and their children have been trained to always seek blessings, to never underestimate the that practice of seeking blessings from elders, because blessings can actually take one beyond what their karmic limitations dictate.
Mm-hmm.
So it is very, very effective. Yeah,
definitely. No, and I was just thinking a little bit more about, you know, fighting in the spiritual world. It's not actually fighting, but it's like there's right-wing gopis, left-wing gopis, you know, Radharani's like arch rival is Chandravali, and she'll get really mad at Krishna if Krishna does something with Chandravali. And then there's the so-called husband of Radharani, Abhimanyu, and was it Katila, and who's Abhimanyu's mother? Jatila and Katila. But these are great devotees that are just meant to enhance the pastimes of Krishna, and Krishna, it's set up the situation so that Krishna can enjoy his pastimes. But okay, you have a question?
I actually have several questions.
Okay.
First one is, what about the demons in Goloka Vrindavan? There's fight, you know, Krishna fights and kills all of these demons.
Yeah. That's similar to like Jayan Vijay.
Oh, so they go there.
Okay. Yeah, and they're also not ordinary, and they to be killed by Krishna is a wonderful thing. And actually, Jayan Vijay took 3 births, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakasipu, and then they was it Dantavarka and Sisupal in Krishna's pastimes. Not exactly like the demons in Vrindavan, but still Krishna was to kill them. And it was in Lord Ramachandra's, it was Kumbhakarna and Ravana. Yeah. And it said that they took those 3, but they also did an extra birth as Jagai and Madai in Navadvipa for Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So, you know, all of these things in the Garbhadhan, Samskara, it's all meant for us to become Krishna conscious. That's the main thing, that, you know, we have to begin every day. We should always feel ourselves like a beginner in devotional service. You know, we have to chant our 16 rounds every day. We just, wherever we find ourselves, wherever we're at, we should try to just sincerely serve Krishna. And it's always possible. There's never any situation where we cannot serve Krishna.
I still have another question.
Oh, sure. Okay. Go ahead.
So oftentimes when I'm reading these pastimes in the Bhagavatam, it is really easy to see, right, Krishna is actually arranging all of this for his pleasure. Jayan Vijay and like all of these demons and these fightings and then all the other players that are also part of these pastimes, and all the different levels of pastimes that occur. And I often hear what we learn from that is Krishna's very involved. Everything is under Krishna's plan.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering, I feel like I'm more controlled by Maya, to be honest. And so I guess I'm curious, like, is that a transition that happens at some point in our lives? Does Krishna begin to become more directly involved?
He's always involved. It depends on you, you know, if you really want it. I mean, we should be totally convinced that Krishna loves us. He adores us, you know, and he wants us to go back home, back to Godhead. He wants to have a relationship with us. There's a purport in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. It's the one right before where Lord Brahma's praying about how it's our like inherited right if we're just sincere and we go on offering our obeisances. But it's in the purport, and it's from Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, that everybody is an individual, and we can all please Krishna in a certain way that nobody else can. And Krishna wants us to please him in that way. So, huh? 10.14.7 in the Bhagavatam, in the purport. And so everyone is an individual, and Krishna wants that individual relationship. You can please Krishna in a certain way that nobody else can. And when you become purified, you can actually do that. You understand? It may seem like, you know, right now we're controlled by the modes of material nature. We have so many, you know, bad habits or different mentalities of trying to enjoy. But if we just go on engaging in devotional service, hearing Krishna's name, all these things are purifying, then we'll become purified and we'll come to that state of, you know, pure bhakti, pure love of Krishna, Krishna prema.
I guess the nature at the core of my question is, I oftentimes hear people say, oh, it's Krishna's arrangement. Like, that thing is Krishna's arrangement. Yeah. And I always have, like, a little bit of, like, a question or a doubt. Like, is that Krishna's arrangement? Or did you make that decision and, like, this is now the consequence? Like, so it's sort of like, at what point can we really be confident or saying, yeah, this thing in my life was Krishna's arrangement. It wasn't that I really messed up this thing and now I have this consequence.
No, it's Krishna's arrangement.
Okay.
Yeah, but your perspective changes. But just like I was saying before, wherever you find yourself, you can understand that here I am, Krishna, you know, in this situation, but I can surrender to you. I can chant your name. I can hear. I can follow the orders of my spiritual master. You know, these are all things that we can do. But we're in certain situations to learn certain lessons. You know, if we're not pure, then we definitely have to learn so many lessons. And that's why we may be in, you know, these difficult situations. Yeah, both.
In a morning walk, when Prabhupada was asking,
right. Yeah, it's a great discussion.
In a morning walk, when Brahmeshwar Prabhu asked Prabhupada that Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Riddhesha Arjuna Tishtati, the Krishna is directing every soul by placing them in a machine called body and traveling higher planet, lower planet. So why not Krishna direct them towards him? Then all the purpose is over.
Mm-hmm.
Then Prabhupada stopped and he says, he's not directing according to his desire. He's directing according to their desire.
Right.
Then Rameshwar Prabhu says, so that means we have to develop a desire to serve him, come back to him. Prabhupada said, yes. Then perspective will change. Then your purpose will be successful.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it will never end. It's perpetual.
Yeah. Yeah, we have that free will, and we have to desire. Everything's based on desire. And if we actually want to develop love for Krishna, then Krishna will help us in so many ways. And he'll put us into so many situations to help us. Okay, go ahead. But yeah, I really like this discussion. Thank you for the questions. Yeah.
So we have minute independence. So again, that's where the desire. So we... But I've always heard that even if we misuse that minute independence, Krishna can still orchestrate in order to, again, bring us closer to him. Again, it's based on our desire, but even if we misuse, right. He's like, okay, now let's you know. So eventually we are, what it seems like they say, forced on, you know, once you step on the path, you're forced to perfection, right?
No, because not forced, but...
Well, I mean, it is used, that word is used somewhere.
Yeah. Krishna is all attractive, that the attraction is the force, but we still have our free will. And just like, you know, in the Garbhadhan Samskara, which Prabhupada's talking about in the purport, people are born and they have certain desires. And, you know, Krishna is in everyone's heart, you know, Bhagavad Gita 15:15, you know, and he gives them remembrance, forgetfulness, and knowledge. So they've come to the material world. Prabhupada generally says to try to enjoy sex life. That's the, just like there are iron bars in a jail, those the bars of the material world is a desire for sex. That's what keeps you in the material world. So this is, you know, Prabhupada is saying that this Garbhadham Samskara is a way of purifying you of that desire for sex so that you can become free from this desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, which will only lead to misery. You won't become happy anyways. So Krishna is trying to, in the Vedas, all these injunctions, they're there for a compassionate reason, to help living entities, to make them peaceful, to make them happy, to get them back to their original position. But, you know, we may have these tendencies, and you know, when we get a certain opportunity, Krishna will remind us, oh yeah, you wanted to enjoy like this, here's your chance. You know, or, oh, you want to be a devotee in this opportunity, here's your chance. So yeah, we have to change our desire. That's within our power of changing our desire from sense gratification towards Krishna's sense gratification. I hope that helps.
Also, the devotee sees whatever happens as Krishna's mercy, mm-hmm. and even if it's a negative thing, some adverse thing, they see it as just a token of what they would have normally deserved for their past misdeeds. But and Srila Prabhupada said once, I heard on a tape, he said, when one can accept everything as Krishna's mercy, then he can go back to Godhead. Or he's already back to Godhead. When we can see everything as Krishna's mercy.
Yeah, there's a question over here.
Thank you so much for class. I think this happens every once in a while when we feel like a class is for you, but I think maybe everybody feels that way in every class, but thank you so much for everything that you shared today. I've heard this said often that, you know, we each have like a unique flavor of love with Krishna. Like there's a way for us to, that we are built to please him. And something that I've been curious about since I've been in Krishna consciousness is the role of intuition. Because I came from atheism and then kind of the new wave. And in the new wave, you know, like intuition and an inner voice is like the platform for everything. But intuition feels less prominent in this particular framework. And I'm just wondering if you can comment on the role of intuition. Because if I have a unique flavor in which Krishna is trying to engage with me, how do I find that? And who knows how to help me find that? And yeah, so I'm just curious about that. Thank you.
Of course, the spiritual master can help you find it. My understanding of intuition is Krishna. It's Krishna's giving you that intelligence or that remembrance from within the heart. And he gives that, you know, according to your desire. So if you're not pure, you cannot really understand the voice of Krishna within you. You may misunderstand that, oh, you know, I want to, you know, go get intoxicating, and it's coming from Krishna. You know, it may, you know, that he may be reminding you, but he doesn't want you to do that. So You know, you have to have knowledge. Just like in this verse, it said everybody was afraid except for the four Kumaras because they had knowledge. They knew what was happening. So the intuition, Krishna will give you intuition, but you have to be, purified enough to understand what that is. And that's why, Srila Prabhupada established ISKCON, which is a society of devotees. So if you have a question, you can ask your spiritual master, is this a good intuition? You can ask, other advanced devotees who you consider advanced and get their opinion on it. So it's true that we should have a very clear idea of what, the spiritual master wants us to do. We can find it in his books and things. But sometimes, for every day, should I turn right or left, that you have to depend on, Krishna and your intuition of what to do. And if you're sincere, and that's a very important point, Krishna will give you the right intuition. Anybody else want to add? Or sure.
So my follow-up question then is, I've had some moments within this society where I've had an intuition, I have brought it to a devotee more advanced than me, and I have followed their advice, which has actually been counter to my intuition, and then I have, and everything is Krishna's arrangement, and I really believe and trust that, but I've had moments where I'm like, I wish I would have just trusted my intuition instead of taking this to an advanced devotee. So I'm wondering if you can comment on that as well.
Yeah, sometimes we have to learn that way too. But it's definitely a learning process. Go ahead. Prang Govinda Prabhu.
Previous chapter 15, this is 17. Yeah. I remember we had a few days discussion, maybe last month, that Garbhadhan Sanskar, what I recall, based on these four things, first was mentality of the couple. Right. So Prabhupada suggested they should chant 50 rounds. Then they will be forced themselves to be Krishna conscious in a sense. And second was timing. Mm-hmm. It has to be auspicious time. Just like, during bright light, sometimes we see drizzle, some rain comes. It's a very auspicious time. At the junction, every day we sing to Prabhupada's glory, Dhyam stubam tasya jashas trishandham vande guru sri charanarabindam. But I hope everybody understands that meaning. Trishandham, the three junction, is a very, very inauspicious time. That's why we must chant our Gayatri or Harinam. Mm-hmm. We must, every devotee must chant this three junction. We sing it, but we need to act also on that.
Yeah.
So that's why timing. And the third one was, the wife here was explained that Diti did not follow the instruction of Kashyapa. Mm-hmm. So wife should be also in the same mentality of husband, that husband won this way. There should be a wonderful mutual respect. Otherwise, it's right. Not good. And then fourth one was the disrespecting demigods. Mm. Kashyapa Muni says, right now Shiva is walking with all these. And I was reading I read the purport where Vishnu Chakuti Thakur says, if somebody having a conception at that time, sex, and some of the struggling, miserable soul like a jaksha or ghost, they are praying to Shiva, and if Shiva grabbed them and throw to that person's life. Mm. And that's it, they conceive a ghost. What the ghost will become a child. It's a horrible life, miserable life. So we must follow these four principles.
Yeah, thank you. And with those eight verses to the spiritual master, it also there's timing. I think there's the ninth verse. You probably know it. And it says that you should have to do it during the Brahma Murta hours. What's the ninth verse?
Srimad Gurur Astakam Etaduchir Brahma Muhurte, there it is. Brahma Muhurte Patati Japrajatnat Jastena Brindavananata Shakshat Sebe balabha janati hai. On Achyutananda Prabhu, he lives here, he told me that Prabhupada actually asked him, why didn't you put that line? And he said, oh, I put this in the translation. But generally, in Alachua, we don't read the translation. For Guru Puja, we read the translation.
Yeah.
For Gurvastanga in Mangalarati, we don't read the whole translation. Of course, it will take a long time. But if you look at the translation in the songbook, originally it is there. That 1.5 hour before sunrise, one should loudly, yeah, attentively.
And what is the benediction of doing that?
You'll go to Golok Vrindavan and serve the divine couple.
Yeah, that's Radha there, right Krishna. There in the
if
prayer.
Somebody really get up in the morning, I mean, better than me is Pushkar Prabhu, who boldly say it. They should wake up. Come on, you say this. No, I mean everybody else. You always say that. They should wake up. The whole community should wake up for Mangalarti.
Prabhupada said if you don't have morning program, you have no devotional life. If that means anything to anybody, I don't know. But, you know, a lot of time people don't study what Prabhupada said. No morning program, you have no devotional life, which is like a roundabout way of saying you're not really a devotee. So no morning program, no. So, I mean, yeah, you can do seva, that's nice, but.
Yeah.
We could talk about that for the last 1,000 years.
Okay. Anything else? Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.